Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning. Thursday, February the 8th, 2024, or February 8th, 2024. I'll be doing this all month. Isn't that exciting? February, February. Again, it's a whole pronunciation thing, but I think it's February. There is a BR in there. 15 minutes past the hour, and today, apparently, we could have temperatures that go up to 60 degrees. We might crack 60 degrees today. We'll see how it goes. I know it was beautiful yesterday, and today's supposed to be better, and it's great outside this morning, so we're off and running on a great Thursday here. Do want to start the morning off by telling, I got another one of these McDonald's flyers. You know, if they just spent the money on register tape that they do on flyers, that ink would be good all the time. But apparently there will be curbside order pickup on digital Fridays. Now you can get a free 6-piece chicken McNugget when downloading or using the app. Now, this happens on February 9th, 16th, and 23rd from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. So tomorrow, the following Friday, and the Friday after that, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., you can get a free 6-piece chicken McNugget when you download the Digital Friday Deal using the app. Order ahead in the app to save time. Download the app today. So there you go. Little free advertisement for McDonald's this morning. Now, I do want to mention right off the bat here, because this has been a question. I was at the office last night, and Judy, one of our longtime listeners out there, had been asking if I had gotten the envelope she left in the office. And I was there last night, and I looked everywhere. I looked on all the tables. I looked on the shelves. I looked everywhere, and I did not see any letters. I did not see any envelopes. I didn't see anything. I saw other letters and envelopes, but I did not see anything else. Now, I hope Judy didn't go into the wrong office and put the envelope on a table. I'm not sure what happened, but I even checked the mailbox last night. So no sign of this envelope. So, Judy, I hope you're listening out there this morning. I'm not sure what happened to it, but it seems to have flown the coop for whatever reason. But the phone lines are open this morning. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. You know, last night after we did the taping at the studio with Matt and Carrington, I went out and had dinner at B-Dubs. Kind of late last night. I mean, late for a weeknight. It was after 10. And, you know, B-Dubs has okay food, but there was nobody in there last night, which was kind of shocking to me, because I believe B-Dubs is open until 11 during the week, and it was a beautiful night last night. It was not a cold night at all, and there just didn't seem to be anybody in there. So I don't know. Maybe people during the week stay at home. You know, I have become the real social person in the last week. I mean, last Saturday I was at the Spaghetti Warehouse in Columbus. On Monday I was at Baker's in Bucyrus and Dairy Queen. Last night, Wednesday, I was at B-Dubs. So, you know, I'm just going from place to place to place to place. That seems to be the thing. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
I don't know what's wrong with that envelope, Scott. when I went to the office, you were doing your show, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I thought you just left the chair for a while to the bathroom or opened the door and looked down the hall, but I stood there probably, I was in there probably 5 minutes. But you were doing the show, and I put it right at the edge, the right side. I put the envelope there and the write-up in the Marion Electric Company about Harding. It's a two-page thing. And I put it right at the end. And then I thought, well, Thursday, you weren't going to be there. And I thought that your door wasn't locked. And that didn't make sense to me, you know, that anybody could just go in there. But, yeah, I put it at the right side. Who would come in, be the next host that would, you know, that would have a show or something?
So this would have been between 8 and 10 last Thursday.
Yeah, because you were on the radio. And I thought, well, you're on the radio, but you're not sitting in that chair talking. You know, how can you do that? And then I thought, well, this is Thursday. You know, I thought I was out. Instead of mailing it, I'll just run it right over there and look at your office. Because when I went in, the girl, I said, do you know where Scott Spears' radio station? She said, no. She said, go right. So as I went in, I turned right, and then I went clear to the end of that hallway. I looked, you know, for a name on your door, and there wasn't any. So I would turn each knob, and most of them were locked. And then I got to yours, you know, and it opened, and I heard you talking, so I went in. And I, I think left there was a door, but it was locked. And I thought, well, you just stepped out. You went to the bathroom, but, you know, it was like, how are you talking, you know, and stuff on the air and things. But no, I put it, it was put on the desk. So that's what I said. I couldn't get over. I was going to tell you, why is it your office locked? That didn't make sense to
Well,
me.
It's kind of strange because Linda would have been there not too long after you because her show went on last Thursday at 10. So when you called me, I remember you said you were in the office and nobody was there.
Yeah.
But Linda would have been there right after that or during that, which is probably why the door was unlocked. And she might have went down.
I've had a lot of stuff I had to be out of the morning. And Thursday, I didn't do blood work. I did something and I was out. And I thought, well, I just dropped this by and she starts office, you know, and stuff. And things because Friday. The groundhog, I had a doctor's appointment and stuff, so I didn't get out of there until I think it was 11:30 or something. So
well,
instead of sending this, I'm just going, but I put it on the right side, and, you know, it didn't dawn on me. Thursday, you weren't there. I just, you know, just ran it to him and stuff, but it was so weird, and you were talking, you were like you were on air. But, you know, you weren't in the chair, is what I'm trying to say.
Now,
it was a small room.
Now what kind of envelope was it?
It was just an ordinary white envelope, and I had put the your address, and I made sure I put that apartment number. And they, what did they put? They put a yellow thing, something about, you know, like not there or something. I don't remember exactly what that was and stuff. And I can't believe that... So you didn't get the stuff about Harding either.
No, and it's strange because, like I say, there's a lot of stuff in there. I mean, there were a lot of, like, the mail came and somebody brought that down and laid it on the desk, and there were some things that we'd gotten from other people, and there were some notes from Groundhog Day, and that all was still there, and but not this letter.
Yeah, well, ask Linda because you were on the air right at that time. Of course, I've had to take my car in, and I've had... of a morning, Thursday. I've had things, you know, I haven't listened to you much. I've had stuff to do and stuff. And I'm trying to think where I went Thursday morning because I had the car and I had to go back and do blood work because I wasn't going to wait 2 hours and different stuff and things. And I've had a plumber, so I've been running to Menards and different stuff. But I cannot believe because I just laid it right on the edge there.
Now, was it on the edge of the, like when you went
right
into the...
side. When you go right in, and I just stood there right inside the door, because you were talking, and I thought, you know, I thought, well, he stepped out. You're not there. You went to the restroom, and I opened the door once and looked out in the hallway. Nothing. And then I got to thinking, well, it's Thursday. You weren't there, but And, you know, but I didn't know in your office what you did would come in the office. I guess it was current. And I thought, well, he's not going to be here today. And so then I just put it on the edge of the desk. I didn't, you know, I just went right in, and your desk is right there. You don't have to go very far. The desk is there. And I just laid it on the desk and I left. So I don't know if somebody cleans the offices or how that goes, but ask Linda because it should be there if she came, you know, right after that, because most of my stuff I do early in the morning. I do better when I get out at 8 and stuff, you know, run and do my stuff. So, but I'm trying to think Thursday where I went, and I was down at that end of town and stuff, so... Boy, that card doesn't want to get there, does it?
No, you know, and it's strange because the only person who would have been there Thursday would have been Linda, and she would have been there right after that. And Linda wouldn't take anything from the studio. She would just lay it on a table there. And like I say, we've gotten all kinds of mail in the last week and all the groundhog stuff, and it's all there in envelopes and things. And I looked everywhere last night. I looked under the table. I looked on all three tables. I looked on the back table, and was it just a regular sized envelope?
It was a Christmas card envelope, white. And then I did Harding's. I took it out of the electric company's thing, and then I put up to the top, wrote neat. I said they mentioned the dog, but not the grandsons and stuff. You know, none of his kids or anything for Harding. I wrote that at the top in ink. I put, you know, they mentioned his dog, and then I don't know if I highlighted it down there, and I said, but no mention of his, you know, his three grandsons and stuff, his grandsons. But when she leaves, does she lock that office?
Yeah, I think Linda does. She's there from 10 to noon, but sometimes she'll get there earlier.
Because I thought, this is silly. Nobody's here in this office, and... if you left that, I know the equipment and stuff, I said, for this not to be locked. But over to the left, as I stood in front of, well, the opening to your desk, there was a door to the left. And I think I turned that knob, but it was locked. Because I went down through that hallway turning everybody's knob, because most of them didn't have you don't have a sign on your door. You know what it is.
Right.
And stuff, because I was going to go that way, and then I was going to go down the other way where that lady went that said you were probably down to the right and stuff. But, yeah, you can ask her. If not, I don't know where it went because I laid both things here on the end of that desk.
I'll talk to Linda again, and I'll look again tomorrow because I'll be there tomorrow morning. But, I looked everywhere.
Well, I just stood there about 5 minutes because it didn't dawn on me. And I thought, well, he stepped out somewhere. And I thought, but he's talking on the radio, you know, and stuff and things. And, you know, I guess it was current. I didn't pay attention. And then it hit me. Well, you know, Thursday you weren't there and stuff. So I'll try to think where I went, but I was at that end of town doing something and stuff. But, yeah, that don't – see, I was at the post office, too. Maybe that's the day I went and got stamps and stuff. Because I had to be at that end, and I needed stamps and stuff. But, no, that's weird.
Yeah, well, Matt and I will be there tomorrow morning. So if you're listening tomorrow morning, give us a call, because I'll be right in the studio, and maybe he can kind of look around as we're on the air tomorrow morning. Because I looked even in the garbage cans to see if it accidentally got thrown away, and I didn't see anything in either one of those. I don't know where it went.
Well, ask Linda, because if it wasn't there, I don't know exactly the time that I was there and stuff, but if it wasn't there, then I don't know what happened to it. I mean, I can believe that the door wasn't locked. That's one thing I was going to tell you when I talked to you. That, to me, that was just, you know, I would think everybody would have a key.
Well, that's...
That didn't make sense to me.
I think that probably was Linda being there, because sometimes she'll unlock the door if she has to go to the restroom or has to go back to her car. So if her guest shows up, they can get in the studio. But normally it's locked.
Yeah, because I was going to go down the other end. As you go in the back and stuff, you turn right or left. And I thought, well, if he's not down here to the right, I'll go left and everything. But I thought you would have a sign up on your door. But I tried most of them. Most of them were locked, you know, the... offices or whatever there. And a few did have names, a couple or so. But no, that doesn't make sense because she came right after that because I usually go out first, you know, when I go early in the morning. So, yeah, I just heard you say that it wasn't there, so I don't know.
We'll keep looking. We'll keep working on it. But I wanted to let you know I did look, and I'm not sure where it is, but I'll keep looking. I'll be there tomorrow morning all day, so I'll keep an eye out.
Yeah, because I know I'm pretty sure there wasn't a trash can there. I just stood right inside the door because you know talking, and then finally I thought, well, you know, I can't wait anymore. It's like 5 minutes or so. So I thought, well, and it dawned on me Thursday. So I just waited at the edge of the desk, you know, more towards the wall, not to the left, not to the right. So, no, but the room was very small, you know, where you do your thing and stuff. But no, that didn't make sense to me, so.
Well, we'll keep trying.
Okay, goodbye.
Thanks, bye-bye. Well, see, now this just goes to show you that it is easy to get into the studio where we do the program. But I have to tell you, and I've talked to everybody, because we had quite a few people in the studio for the Christmas party and also for Groundhog Day. It's a nice studio to be in. There's something about walking into an office building that's different than other studios. And also, the smaller the room, the better the acoustics for radio, which is also a very big plus. So we're happy with the studio and where we are. But I, you know, where this letter went, I have no idea. There's all kinds of papers and things laying around there and envelopes from other people. So I don't know where the thing went. But that's my update on that this morning. And again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Now, yesterday, I was going on and on and on and on about the groundhog because I don't know what an early spring is. And I think we all tried to figure this out yesterday, but I don't think we really got a good answer. So I did a little research last night. Now, here is how you find out if there's an early spring. If you take the days between February the 2nd, Groundhog Day, and March the 20th, the day before spring, the day before the first day of spring, if the temperatures are above 40 degrees for the majority of those days, that's an early spring. But if the temperatures are below 40 degrees for the majority of those days, that was six more weeks of winter. Now, that's just how technical it is here on the program. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, it's me.
Yeah.
Have her to, maybe she laid something to the right of her. Ask her to check her, what do you call it, if she takes paperwork or anything in. It might have just got picked up with some of her belongings or something.
Well, that could have been. I mean, I know Linda brings some paperwork in, so I'll ask her if she brought anything in.
Yeah, to check that, because that's bugging me now. So, yeah, ask her, you know, because if you spread your stuff out, you might just put stuff with it, you know, and not realize, you know, that you have it or something.
Yeah, yeah, I'll check with her. I'll see what I can find out.
Okay, then, thanks.
Thanks, bye-bye. The missing letter saga continues, but we'll find it. Now, this is a Christmas card, and it's now February the 8th, so that's a long time coming Christmas card, and a note, a little article about President Harding, which I always enjoy reading things like that. But so that's how you find out if it's an early spring. So we have to take the days from last Friday until March the 20th. And if the majority of those days have temperatures above 40 degrees, that's an early spring. And if it's below 40 degrees for the majority, that is six more weeks of winter. So it's looking pretty good right now because this week we've had very good temperatures. But I believe starting on Sunday, the temperatures dip back below 40 degrees. So I don't know. I don't know if we'll have an early spring or it's going to be six more weeks of winter. I guess we'll all find out as time goes on. But that's how you find that out. And that's how we make the predictions for the groundhog. So did anybody know that? Did anybody know that's how you get that's how we figure this all out? You know, see, this whole thing, I think we just take this stuff for granted. We go, well, it's going to be an early spring. It's going to be six more weeks of winter. If we have some nice days, that means early spring. If a snow comes in, that means six more weeks of winter. No, there actually is a way to figure this out. You have to pay attention to the days. You have to look at the temperatures. So I don't know. I don't know what we're going to get. If we get a cold snap or the temperatures just stay below 40 degrees, I guess it'll be six more weeks of winter. So that's that. And again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Hopefully doing a lot of educating here this morning, talking about how we decide if it's an early spring or six more weeks of winter. Okay. What else is on the agenda here this morning? Well, I had a funny experience yesterday. I thought this was funny. So I was at the grocery store yesterday, and there was a lady who, she wasn't rude or anything like that, but she needed help with something, let's put it that way. And she wanted to talk to a manager. So I got on the PA system, and I paged for a manager to come down and help this woman. Well, as soon as I got off the PA machine, the woman said to me, she said, "Do you know you should be in radio?" Now, here's the odd thing about this. Now, I don't know if she knew who I was or if she genuinely was saying that because of how I sounded on the PA system. But I found it very interesting, and she never gave any more. We didn't talk anymore. There never was further conversation. So I don't know if she knew who I was. I don't know if she was just saying that. But it made me think of something. I do not know, because people have said this to me for a long time. They've said, "Well, you have a radio voice." I have no idea what a radio voice is. I would never tell somebody they had a radio voice because I don't know what that is. I don't know what a radio voice is. I don't know, does it, because this is my voice. I don't change my voice when I come on here in the morning. I think I pretty well sound the same the rest of the day. So I've always wondered, what is a radio voice? What makes somebody sound like they should be on the radio? Because, you know, there are some mornings I come on here, you know, I'm plugged up from allergies or whatever else is going on. Now, I'm sure on those mornings, it's not exactly a radio voice. So I'm not sure if a radio voice is a voice you've heard on the radio or if a radio voice is something else. I don't know what that is, but you hear it an awful lot. And I heard it yesterday. So I'm not sure if it's a chicken in the egg. To me, it's a chicken in the egg theory. It's maybe it's a voice you've heard on radio, so you think it's a radio voice, or it's a, I don't know, something to do with how you sound, I guess. But I have never told anybody they had a radio voice because I wouldn't even know what that is. Now, I've talked to people who I thought were very well-spoken. I've done that. And again, phone lines are open here today. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing great. I have the answer to you. I'll tell you what it means when someone tells you you have a radio voice.
Oh, you know, because I've always wondered the answer to this.
Yes, that is a nice way of saying, that's paying you a compliment, but what is really behind it is, oh my gosh, you do not have a face for television.
Is that what that is?
That's what that is.
You don't belong on television. You know, I honestly, this lady yesterday gave no lead on this whole thing. she was not, she did not say, I listen to you or I know who you are. That's all she said. When I got off the PA machine, she just said, you know, you should be in radio. So I...
Yeah, and that will leave you wondering because, you know, since you didn't discuss it anymore, that definitely leaves you wondering, you know, did she know who I was or not?
Yeah, well, and if she didn't, that's okay, because then that even makes it even more curious to me that she would land on the idea, just because of how I sounded on the PA machine, that maybe this is a career I should pursue.
There you go.
Yeah. I just found it strange.
Right, right. Well, I just thought I'd clear that up for you.
Well, no, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
All right, we'll talk to you.
Bye-bye. Well, there you go. I have a face for radio. You know, that's another one of those sayings you hear an awful lot. You have a face for radio. A lot of people get that said to them. I think that's fascinating, too, because if you've ever looked at people on television, clearly some of those people should have went into the radio career. Now, I'm not going to run down who those people are, but, you know, and that's a whole nother thing. Boy, we're getting kind of off topic here today, but it's an interesting conversation. Have you ever noticed that, what's a way to put this, that I want to say this correctly? Have you ever noticed that people on television, I don't know how curious they are, because they seem to be constantly reading off a prompter. So I really don't know. They don't have a whole lot of control over their shows. And all people that I've ever talked to who were in radio and television always said they liked radio better than television. I think there's a little more freedom in radio. But also the other point, when it comes to voices and the way you look, have you ever noticed that nobody ever likes the sound of their voice? Nobody ever likes to see themselves on camera. Now, at some point, we do like to see ourselves in pictures, but not on video. There's something about video that people don't like to see or hear their voice. I don't know why this is. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I'll be with you in here just a second. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Oh, because I had trouble with the phone there, and the iPad went off. And you went silent on the beginning of the show, and I thought, oh, no. And I looked at the little box and stuff there on the iPad. I thought, everything's okay. So Carol was there beside me, and she said, why don't you try it? I said, I should shut this off or turn it on. I said, it just went blank. And so I did, and I got you back. So then I heard you about the voices thing. So you got a minute, I'll tell you one.
I would like to hear this.
Well, this what is happening? This conversation, your conversation, happened at Kroger's.
It did.
My conversation I'm going to tell you about. So here's the deal during COVID, and I don't know the period of time that we had that. I can't tell you whether it was the first or the middle or going towards the end, but it was in that three-year period, and I was at Kroger's, and the guy that was running the cash register, I wanted $100 over, paid by check, and I said, I'll take $100 over. And he said, well, I'll have to look and see if I got enough money. And so he didn't, and then he had to call over, and another fellow brought some money over to him. So he counted out real fast because the line was piling up. And, I said, I think you made a mistake there. I said, instead of $100, I said, you counted that awful fast. I said, it was 90. He said, I had $100, Roger. Well, I said, sir. And that's when old Ted got a bow in his system. When I said, sir, I would like to have you count it over again, right in front of me and the fellow beside me. I said, will you help me? I said, I'm an older guy, but I said, will you help see if he counts this right? And that young fellow, he kind of got a little agitated with me. So he said, yeah. He didn't count it right. He said, you only give you 90. And so, anyhow, during this period of time, and you're talking about voices now, back there about three deep in the line, they said, hey, Ted, that you? And I thought, well, who would say that to me? And so I looked back there, and he had a mask on. He pulled it down, and he gave me a thumbs up. Give him heck, Ted. He said they ought to be paying more attention, you know, so there's the way a voice goes in a crowd, in Kroger's, out of the three-deep guy, he could hear my voice. So I guess voices have a lot to do with people that know you. You know, they know your voice because they've heard it a lot. And I've had a lot of people said, I know your voice from any voice, but I haven't got, I don't think any way I have a radio voice, but there is people with voices that you can recognize, and you've found that out, haven't you?
Well, I have, and it's interesting, though, because some people have, everybody's obviously got a different sounding voice, but there are some people who have very distinctive voices that you could point out anywhere. But then there are other people who you might hear it, but it might be a little harder to get to.
Yeah, but you know, all through our life, you're correct there in saying that. And one other name I can bring up when I was in school, and you know him very well, Doc Brown. Now, when Doc Brown come to the stage and the assembly in there, and he'd always speak, you know how the principals and superintendents would come to different times of the school period and then didn't get up there and give a speech or something pertaining to school, you know. You knew who they were. But Doc Brown was excellent because he talked loud, and he was loud, and he was clear. And you paid attention, too. But he was a swell, wonderful guy because I met him after I was out of school a few years. And I even bought him a beer down to the Waldo Sportsman Club one night. He was down there. And I looked over and I said, that is Doc Brown. And I thought, is it or isn't it? And I heard him speak. I said, God, that is Doc Brown. I'm going to buy him a beer. So he had one in front of him about gone. And I took it over there and I set it down. I said, Doc Brown, I was one of the students at Harding High School. He said, well, and he said, yeah. You know, well, they always do that because, you know, they couldn't remember all the students at Harding High School. But he said that maybe because I was an athlete at Harding. But I said, I haven't seen you for a long time. I said, here's a beer on me. Well, he said, thank you very much. But his voice was very distinctive. You know that, don't you?
I do. And, you know, it's an interesting thing because I like to go into the archives. And one that we are on this station is the Madge Cooper archive. And it's funny because, obviously, I knew what Madge sounded like. But if you go back 30 or 40 years and I would listen to something, somebody say, hey, this is Madge doing an interview or something. Now, her voice changed as time went on. Now, it didn't change to where you couldn't tell it was her, but there were a lot of times where I would listen and I'd go, is that Madge? Was that her? Because it doesn't sound like she sounds now. Now, I don't know if that's age or what that is, but the voice does change a little bit for whatever reason.
But I remember, and I don't like to think that I'm picking on you or anything. I have heard you over the radio say that they got a radio voice, and you said you never said that to anybody, but I've heard you say that before to people, and I think it maybe pertains to, if it's a male, I think it pertains to a lower bass voice, but very clear and distinctive. I can tell you that, but a lot of people that's anymore was talking there the other day about the women and stuff on the weather station and stuff like that. And women that's on the radio that I scan down on the AM and FM channels, and I can hear quite a few women, but their voices, sometimes you can make it out, but sometimes you can't. But most of the men's, you can. But I don't know what the reason for that is.
Well,
I imagine.
I'll tell you, it's interesting you say that. Now the radio voice. Now that might just be more of my memory. you forget what you say.
It didn't happen, but
But I'll tell you what's fascinating about what you say is in this. I didn't say this the other day when I'm going on about this. We need to find a new Madge Cooper type of person. But one of the reasons. Now I have been given this reason, or I never prescribed to this, or subscribed to this, but I was told, have been told by a lot of people, that one of the reasons there aren't a lot of women on the air is that if you want a news person and you're doing a news broadcast, that you do not want a woman doing that because their voice doesn't have the gravitas that a man's voice has. And what you just said, that women are harder to understand than men. And that's what I've heard that reason.
Not all of them. Some of them are very clear, and they and you know what? They've got the personality and stuff. You was talking about keratin there, the other night. They can speak up, and they know how to speak up because you say she took some training in it, and you're going to have some training in it, I guess, to do that. Some's natural, you know, in voice, loud and clear, but they got to have the positive and the distinct thing to put that message out there, and then people pays attention, you know.
Well, and she's got a very strong voice, and she has good pronunciation, so she's very good in that matter. But there have been a lot of people who, and Linda has very good pronunciation, and you can understand her. But there are people who don't, for whatever reason. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's being shy. I don't know if it's just women talk higher. I don't know. It's a weird thing.
And people come on your show sometimes, they aren't prepared, or they have a little pad in front of them, they have to look stuff up and this and that, and there's a little pausing and this and that. You can tell that over the air real quickly that they are, in other words, they didn't do the homework, you know, but they take it off of that, and then they talk. Well, when they're talking off a page of paper or something like that, then they're concentrating on reading it and stuff. Then their voice don't come over the air very good either that way. But just like you, if you have dead air for 2 hours, you can stay up there and your voice never cracks a bit and never pauses anything unless you look up there and see somebody on the screen that sent you a message that you had to laugh about.
I know. You know what? That and I'll tell you, that is a whole new thing in this world. About this, like I just got a message a second ago, the ding went off there. But it's very strange that that's a whole new thing, that people who are listening will do that rather than call in. Now, I think it's because they're at work or busy doing other things, but they'll do it that way. And I don't know. It's a fascinating thing because I've often thought, if I put somebody on the air and I did not say their name, would people know who they were? Because you can't see them. So if just by their voice, could you identify them? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you could or not.
I don't know about identify them if you never knew them before anyhow or never heard their voice before, I don't, you know, like that. But every day, like I listen to the show, I can tell people's name. I don't know their names. I know their first names, and I know who they are pretty well. But just like I told you there at the Groundhog thing, I heard voices and your voice at the same time, and I thought you was in the room with a microphone on, and then you explained it to me that the outside mic and then the inside people was penetrating out through your mic.
Yeah, that's what happened, and it's interesting, and I don't think this is any kind of a knock, but we just got a message here online that Matt does not have a radio voice. Now, that's probably true, but I don't think, I think Matt does well on the radio, but his voice is not particularly strong.
Well, I'll tell you, not yet, because he hasn't been on the radio and he hasn't had people say something or something like that. But I'll tell you one thing about Matt. When he talks on his own show about his own subject, nobody cuts in and makes a jab at him or jab here or jab there and gets him off the track. That man can speak and he can talk football because I've listened to him.
Oh, absolutely.
Wonderful job. But I've never had a chance to call him in because, buddy, when he starts talking football, and he loves that, and especially the NFL, I guess, but he does a wonderful job there, and he's just a young guy starting, you know. I mean, he never was been behind a mic in his life till he met you.
Well, and that's an interesting, see, and this again, this is why this is a fascinating conversation, because, see, I don't know if you developed that or not, because I never, now Carrington is a communications major. I never was a communications major. Madge never was a communications major. Marianne was never a communications major. We all were education majors. But somehow, I guess the voices worked out okay. I've never had any voice training. I'm not a singer or anything like that. So I don't know. I mean, and this is the same voice I talk with when I'm in a room with people. So I don't know if your voice, if you work on it. I certainly never tried to work on it.
Well, I can talk about anybody anytime now as far as understanding me and saying anything about the voice. But just depends what subject we get in. I can talk pretty good, and sometimes I put a lot of emphasis in it when I get a little bit riled up.
No, well, and I'll tell you, and when I don't know what's going on, I just make it up.
Yeah, I can talk any subject, not very much. There's the politics and religion. I'm not well versed depth in that where I can really keep and go back at the pros and cons on stuff like that, because those are two tough things to be, pros and cons. You know that yourself a little bit, that you've dealt with people and stuff that in your interviews, you know, politicians and stuff, both parties and all this and all that. That's tough to keep up with, but you do a good job because you are, I think you like both sides and everything of what you can communicate with, and that's why you do a wonderful job. You do. There is no playing favorites to nobody. You've just been around. But, like you said, there you was with the big boys and girls of WMRN. Now, that's where you started in and got broke into, buddy, and there was professionals because they was in the business, and WMRN was the top dog in Marion in my lifetime as a kid growing up, let my parents and stuff listening to the shows.
You know, it's so interesting that I had something written down this morning so I wouldn't forget it that I wanted to say, and it's almost exactly what you just said. But before I say that, I want to say this about the politics. People think, a lot of people who just know me from the radio, think that I'm highly interested in politics. And I'll say to a certain degree, I like to know what's going on. But I'm not one of these people who sit at home and watch the news channels all day. I don't go to the news sites and look at those. I try to stay informed because I want to do an informed interview. But if I wasn't on the radio, to be honest with you, I doubt I would pay very much attention to
I don't that either, Scott. I don't. But then sometimes, you know, during the election, I like to hear the elections. I like to hear the pros and cons when the, you know, the presidential election when Trump was on there and the rest of them on there, and there's all lined up. What was it? 16 in a row.
Oh, there were a lot. There were a lot.
They hammered right down through there, you know. And buddy, I'll tell you, they that was something to listen to. But anyhow, I'll get off here. Somebody else call in. So I just thought I'd put my thing in about the voice. So,
well, I appreciate it.
You know me when I call, but you know me when you see my phone number too.
Well, that. But you know what? I appreciate it every time because it's always a good conversation.
Yeah, well, it's nice talking to you too, Scott.
Thank you. Bye bye. All right, now we got about 3 minutes left. Now, what I was going to say, the thing I had written down that Ted kind of touched on there, that I actually was going to bring this up, because we've had a lot of talk this week about Madge Cooper and Marianne Michaels, and Joe Ione was another great newsman who I got to work with somewhat at WMRN, and just these great Jeff Ruth. I worked with Jeff Ruth at WMRN. By the way, he had a birthday this week. Happy birthday to Jeff. But Terry Cole, got along with all of them. But I will tell you, it's very interesting. When I came in to radio, because I came in from, it's a long story, so I won't go into it, but I came in from teaching. I never took a journalism class in my life. I never took a broadcasting class in my life. I'd never run a soundboard in my life. I'd never been to a county commissioner or city council meeting in my life until I got into radio. Never did an interview. Anyway, when I got in and these people were there, these luminaries of Marion Broadcasting, you know, they really, now I want to make sure I say this exactly right. They were not teachers. None of them ever said do this or do that or do it this way or think about this. They never were like that. I never had somebody try to explain to me how to do broadcasting. I never had somebody explain to me how to do an interview, I never had, I did not have that type of relationship with those people. Now, it's interesting because I think that's why we could be friends. I think if I thought of them as teachers or mentors or people like that, I don't think we could have been friends because we wouldn't have been equals. And I always felt equal with them because, not that I was as good as they were, but we didn't, they never took you aside and told you how to do something. They never gave you tips. Now, they always said nice things to me. They would say, hey, that was a great interview, or hey, you're doing a great job. They would do that, but they never told you how to do anything. They never explained anything, and I kind of liked it that way because we were friends, more or less, because I didn't see them as teachers. So I thought that was interesting, and maybe I thought you would find that interesting. But here's what's interesting. I got to go to a break.
You're listening to The Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you. Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy, is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but...
I can tell.
I wasn't even sure how to word it.
The way your arms got going, I figured.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he,
yeah.